Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, a weekly half-hour segment of news from Palestine and discussion of issues relevant to the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal military occupation and colonization of their homeland. This program presents news and analysis from the Palestinian perspective, a perspective we do not get from the mainstream media. We ask our listeners, were you involved last week in the Israel-Palestine peace movement and the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal military occupation of their land? Did you speak out on the atrocities being committed by Israel in Gaza and the West Bank? If not, why not? There are several groups in the Greater Boston area which you can join. The Boston Coalition for Palestinian Rights can be contacted by calling 617-491-2313. The Middle East Crisis Coalition can be contacted by writing to crisismiddleeast@yahoo.com. Or you can join the Israel-Palestine Task Force of United for Justice with Peace by writing to ujpiptaskforce@yahoo.com. If you are Jewish and prefer to join a Jewish group, there is the Boston chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, which you can contact by calling 617-984-0532, or by visiting their website at vopj.org. Palestine is suffering badly and in dire need of your help. It is Sunday, April 1st, 2007. We begin with three event announcements. Four teenagers from the Balata refugee camp outside Nablus who are engaged in a photography workshop will be showing their work and speaking about their lives at Harvard University. The event will take place on Wednesday, April 11th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Center for Government and International Studies in the Knafel Building located at 1737 Cambridge Street in Cambridge. The Picture Balata workshop puts the camera into the hands of the children born and raised under the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Participants ranging from ages 11 to 18 photograph their situation as they live it in the Balata refugee camp. For those who are looking for a program under which they can visit Palestine, the Aida refugee camp in Bethlehem will be holding its two-week-long 6th International Work Camp from August 2nd to August 16th. Come and see what life is really like in a Palestinian refugee camp. Participants will be provided with accommodations and meals in Aida camp and will engage in a variety of activities with local volunteers and children. To get an application form, please write to helenp149@yahoo.com. If you can spend more time in Palestine, the Siraj Center for Holy Land Studies in Beit Zahur, a non-governmental organization based in Beit Zahur, Palestine, which aims to create links between the Palestinian people and people from around the globe through travel programs, interfaith ecumenical dialogue, and culture and youth exchange programs, has organized an exciting two-month program called A Palestinian Summer Celebration 2007, from June 20th to August 18th of 2007. Please come and celebrate Palestine, learn Arabic, study history, know the people and their culture, share time with local families, and volunteer with a local community organization. This is an excellent opportunity for anyone to safely experience firsthand the reality being lived by the imprisoned Palestinian residents of the historical walled-in city of Bethlehem. Your visit will help open up this historical city once again to the outside world. To register for the program or get more information, please visit the website sirajcenter.org/courses/htm. Following is a summary of news highlights for the week. On Monday, March 26th, thousands of right-wing Israeli activists arrived by buses from across Israel in a bid to rebuild and resettle the settlement of Chomesh in the northern West Bank, near the Palestinian town of Burqa. The settlement was evacuated and destroyed during the so-called Gaza disengagement. The activists were guarded by Israeli police and the Israeli military occupation forces. On Wednesday, March 28th, however, hundreds of Israeli soldiers wrestled with the settlers and drove them out. On Tuesday, March 27th, The BBC reported that a sewage treatment pool in the village of Umm Nasr in northern Gaza collapsed and flooded the village, submerging at least 25 houses. 9 people were killed, including a 4-year-old boy and a 70-year-old woman. At last count, 25 people were reported injured, but many more are still unaccounted for. Fadel Kawash, head of the Palestinian Water Authority, told the Associated Press that several sewage projects, including a new facility planned for the village, had been halted after international funding dried up. At an Arab summit meeting of the Arab League in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia again formally reintroduced its peace plan, which calls for Israel to retreat behind the 1967 borders and for the creation of a Palestinian state in all of the West Bank and Gaza, with its capital in East Jerusalem, and that in exchange for full diplomatic relations between all the Arab countries and Israel. Israel has indicated interest in further discussion of this initiative on condition that it drop the right of return provision. And prior to the summit meeting, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with several Arab foreign ministers to try and bring the Arab peace initiative in line with Israel's position. The Palestinian delegation, headed by President Mahmoud Abbas and Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh, asked the Arab countries to break the economic siege of Palestine and urge their banks to resume transferring funds to the new coalition government of national unity, despite President Bush's open threats directed to any bank which transferred funds to the PA. On Wednesday, King Abdullah called for an end to the international boycott of the new Palestinian government. President Abbas also met on the side with Javier Solana, Secretary General of the Council of the European Union. What is needed now is to translate the Arab support into international support and finally lift the boycott. Last Friday, March 30th, marked the 31st anniversary of Land Day, a day commemorating the killing of 6 Palestinians in the Galilee on March 30th of 1976 by Israeli troops during peaceful protests over the confiscation of Palestinian lands. Land Day links all Palestinians in the struggle against occupation and for self-determination. We are very pleased to have 2 featured guests today. Hannah Mermerstein is a Boston-area Jewish peace activist who has lived and worked for extended periods in Palestine. She holds a degree in international and intercultural studies, women's studies, and peace studies, and is a co-founder of Birthright Unplugged, an original program which organizes, primarily for Jews but open to people of all backgrounds, visits to Palestinian cities, villages, and refugee camps, and helps participants develop an understanding of daily life under occupation. Our second guest is Nova, who works with the International Women Peace Service in Palestine. IWPS Palestine is an international team of women based in the West Bank village of Haris, which provides international accompaniment to Palestinian civilians, documents and nonviolently intervenes in human rights abuses, supports acts of nonviolent resistance to end the brutal and illegal military occupation, and opposes the apartheid war. They join us now by phone from Boston and Palestine. Good morning, Hannah Mermerstein.
Good morning, Sharif.
Good afternoon, Nova. Welcome to This Week in Palestine. Starting with you, Hannah Mermerstein, if I may, talk to us, if you would, about your program, Birthright Unplugged, and the work you are doing.
Well, my co-worker, Dunya, and I founded Birthright Unplugged about 2 years ago now. But we had the idea for it about 3 years ago, and we were, at the time, each working with the International Women's Peace Service and had started moving into some educational work and delegation work with groups that would come through Haris and through the Salfit region where we were, and also with other groups. So in the summer of 2004, we were both, we were each leading separate delegations, not specifically Jewish, and we met up a few times and talked about the delegations, as well as talking about an aunt of Dunya's who was on a Jewish educator's trip to Israel. Dunya had offered to bring her and her group into the West Bank for, you know, a day or even just a few hours, and they refused. And when Dunya told me this, I said, well, that doesn't surprise me. There are, you know, hundreds of groups, thousands of people who are being brought to Israel for free by a lot of different Zionist organizations, Birthright Israel being the main one that brings a lot of young Jewish people to Israel. And she said, well, why don't we start an alternative? So we came up with Birthright Unplugged in that summer in 2004 and started our first Unplugged trips in 2005. And we have two programs now. We have Unplugged and Replugged. But the Unplugged trip is a six-day trip through the West Bank designed mostly for Jewish people and for North American people. And we take them to cities, villages, and refugee camps and meet with a variety of Palestinian people and basically try to equip people to return to where they're from and to work for justice for Palestine. It's only a six-day trip. There's not much people can do in 6 days. So a lot of, with some people, it's returning to where they're from, and with others, like Nova, for example, she came on Birthright Unplugged and then went on to work at IWPS. That's our Unplugged program. Our Replugged program is with Palestinian children who live in refugee camps in the West Bank, and we would work in Gaza if we could, but can't get in and can't get the kids out. But we work with children under the age of 16, and we take them on a two-day trip to Jerusalem, to the sea, and to the villages that their grandparents are from before 1948. And they document their experiences and create exhibits, photography exhibits, one of which, actually, the most recent one we did from Balata refugee camp, we've brought back to Boston and will be showing in a couple weeks at the Austin Library, the Austin branch of the library. We're not sure exactly when it's opening yet, but it will be there. So those are the two programs that we do with Birthright Unplugged.
Do you also meet with Israeli community leaders and peace activists, political figures, and families?
To Israelis, you ask?
When in your Birthright Unplugged program, do you also meet with Israelis?
We do. We don't. Our focus is for people to hear Palestinian narratives and Palestinian perspective because it's much more difficult for them to get that, especially if we're working with Jewish people. It's just not something that they've had exposure to. But we do expose people to Israelis who we don't think they otherwise would have exposure to and that we think would add to their understanding of the situation. So we do meet with a few Israelis throughout our trip. We have an Israeli activist panel. We meet with the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. They do a tour for us. And we meet with Netta Golan, who's a one of the co-founders of the ISM, the International Solidarity Movement. And she is she lives in Ramallah, married to a Palestinian, and has a family in Ramallah.
What has your experience been with people who participate in your program, particularly American Jews?
It's varied. We're at the point now where we're actually getting a lot of interest. People are starting to hear about us, mostly through word of mouth, and that means we're able to be more selective. At first, we were honestly taking anybody who we thought wouldn't deeply offend our hosts, people who weren't overtly racist. At this point, we're at the point where we can say we don't only have that baseline, but we're also taking people who we think are going to do something with the knowledge. We're not that interested in taking people who are just trying to educate themselves because we have limited capacity and it's not worth it to us, for a spot to be taken for someone who isn't going to have a ripple effect and to work on these issues afterwards. So we're finding that we're able to take people who are then doing work afterwards, and that's been really nice for us. It varies, our experience with them. There are people who come in to the program with politics that are, that are already very critical of Israel or even anti-Zionist, and then there are others who are questioning it. And people change throughout the week. Either they change their politics or at least they're changing their experiences if they already come in with a politic that, that is critical.
How many people do you typically host in a year?
We take, on each Unplugged trip, we take about 10 people, and we have four of those a year, two in the summer and two in the winter. So we take about 40 on Unplugged and about 40 on Replugged, because we do two trips each of 20 kids for Replugged. So we take about 40 Unplugged and 40 Replugged.
Are you open to accepting volunteers at this time?
We're always open to fundraising. Dinya and I do most of the work ourselves in terms of actually leading the groups and doing most of the work, but we definitely could use people to help a little with fundraising and maybe with some technical things like the website.
How does one apply to your program?
Our application is online at birthrightunplugged.org, and we're actually in the process of setting our summer dates now. They will be up on our website within probably the next week.
on your website, which is birthrightunplugged.org, right? You also initiated another project called Needle in the Groove. Could you describe that project?
Yes. Needle in the Groove is a project that I started to benefit a Palestinian girls group called Flowers Against the Occupation. And this is one of the groups that actually I got to know through IWPS and that we do meet with on Birthright Unplugged as well. So it ties in with the rest of the work. And it's a great group of girls in the northern West Bank, a rural area, and they do a lot of different work for both empowerment and self-sufficiency kind of projects within their own society, as well as then fighting against the occupation. So they have, you know, they do demonstrations for Land Day. You mentioned Land Day. They do demonstrations and a lot of different activities, English lessons as well. So a range of activities for this group that otherwise would not have these opportunities. So Needle in the Groove is a CD that includes mostly North American women musicians who donated songs about social justice to this CD. It's 16 tracks, great women. There are two girls from the group Flowers Against the Occupation who also sing on the CD. And all proceeds of the CD go directly to the girls. This summer, some of the musicians actually will be coming to Palestine with me to run a music camp for the girls. And so we're trying to, you know, raise as much money as possible and sell as many CDs as possible this spring so that we're able to run the camp in the summer. Mm-hmm. And the website for Needle in the Groove is needleinthegroove.org.
And one can buy the CD through the website.
Yes.
Great. Let me turn to you, Nova, if I may. You started your activism in Palestine, as Hannah has mentioned, with Birthright Unplugged, and then you moved on to the International Women's Peace Service. What did you like most in the Birthright Unplugged program?
Having the opportunity to have 6 days in the West Bank is really unique with a group of mostly American and North American Jews. I actually came to the region on the Birthright Israel trip, which is the free 10-day tour sponsored by Jewish philanthropists and the Israeli government. So I received a very Jewish Zionist perspective my first 10 days in the area, knowing that I would then, a month later, get to go into the West Bank with the alternative program to really be able to see the different perspectives and what was really happening in Palestine. Having the opportunity during those 6 days to really sit down with Palestinians who are activists and people living in many different circumstances and really look at what they're dealing with, being welcomed into their home in the refugee camp and sitting with people, especially those who still promote and internalize nonviolence, even though their daily lives are so difficult and there's so much violence perpetrated by the Israeli army around them and in their communities. Another really important aspect of the trip is just being in that sort of community setting where there are people with similar backgrounds to mine, where I can process all of the information, which is so different from the information I have received my whole life from a Jewish Zionist perspective and through the American media, that we can process and really try to relearn and incorporate the experiences that we witness and the stories that we hear from Palestinians themselves.
When you went to Birthright Unplugged, was that your first visit to Palestine?
Yes, that was my first visit. I came here with the Birthright trip, and during that time with the Zionist perspective, there was very little talk of Palestine and Palestinians. And when I first stepped into the West Bank with the Unplugged trip, we went through Damascus Gate and into East Jerusalem. There was an entire different world that had been missing in the first 10 days. It was my first time here, and I chose to stay so I can gather more and more stories to bring back to the United States to be able to share with people at home.
You mentioned that your experience in Birthright Unplugged was quite different from what you were brought to believe in your Zionist background. In what ways were they different?
Well, I grew up in a Jewish household, and my family, although they promote peace and they promote understanding and dialogue, there is a very strong connection to the State of Israel in a sense of a secure place that is needed for American Jews. Having that perspective, either overtly or in overt, I also received a lot of information from independent studies of what was really happening in Palestine. So there was conflicting information, but certainly my family and my background, having that, I was very conflicted when I first came here. I was hoping that I could look at what was happening here and believe that there was a way to focus on coexistence and dialogue between Israelis and Palestinians, and really seeing that as a gap in stopping violence and a way to start towards peace. But as soon as I stepped into Palestine, into the West Bank, I saw that that's not the initial problem, and the problem is the oppression of the Palestinian people in their daily lives and in the greater context in general.
Could you tell us a little bit about the work you do with the International Women's Peace Service?
Yes. So the Women's Peace Service, we are implementing human rights abuses and supporting the nonviolent resistance of people in the area of Salt Sweet, which is north of Ramallah. And right now, this past week, there has been a lot of nonviolent resistance, and prior to that, we have been doing a lot of human rights reports where we document abuses by soldiers in our village and the nearby villages, and we also do accompaniment in the demonstrations. On Friday, on Land Day, in a village nearby, in the village of Rafat, there were 150 people that gathered in a nonviolent demonstration to protest the wall that was built, the apartheid wall that surrounds there and two other villages. And we went with them to march and pray on their land, and then actually go and try to remove part of the barrier. And at that time, young men were arrested, and they were held in custody by Israeli soldiers at a nearby checkpoint for over 7 hours. And they handcuffed the men, and as they were trying to take them away, we tried to intervene and tried to convince them that they had done nothing. There was no altercation between the soldiers and the Palestinians in the community, and these men were targeted simply because they were nearby the Jeep. So as volunteers, we were able to try to intervene and then try to contact other activists who can help promote and try to step in and try to stop their custody. So that is some of the work that we've been doing recently.
And all the work that you do at IWPS is well documented in different reports on your website.
Yes, all of our human rights reports and other information are on our website, and everyone can go there and learn more about specifically what is happening now.
And the website is iwps-pal.org. Are you open to accepting volunteers at IWPS at this time?
Yes, absolutely. We are always looking for volunteers who are committed and interested in working with us. And they can apply on the website, can go and fill out an application and have an interview.
And that is for women only, right?
Yes, it is for international women, and anyone is welcome to apply.
How long are volunteers expected to spend at your place in Harris?
There are different commitments that are possible. The long-term volunteers, they make a three-month commitment every year. So they will come for 3 months and then have that commitment over time. There's also the opportunity to be a short-term volunteer, which is what I did, and that can be negotiated with the personnel team at the organization, but they ask for a two-week minimum.
Mm-hmm. Do you help at all with funding? Is there any kind of help that a volunteer can get to finance her trip?
Yes, there are some possibilities of helping either fundraise. There are some ideas about how to fundraise the money on your own as a volunteer. There's also scholarships available, especially for women of color who otherwise may not be able to go. So there are some opportunities. The best thing is to apply and then to speak with the team and figure out a way to make it possible. Absolutely, we want people to be able to go if they're interested.
Right. How many people typically are at Harris at this point?
Right now there are only 3 volunteers, which is much less than usual. We like to have many more than that. So right now is a wonderful time to get on a plane and come on over.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Nova and Hannah Mermelstein, for being our guests today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And my pleasure. You have been listening to Nova at the International Women's Peace Service in Harris, Palestine, and Boston area activist Hannah Mermelstein, co-founder of Birthright Unplugged and Needle in the Groove. We refer our listeners to their websites, iwps-pal.org, birthrightunplugged.org, and needleinthegroove.org. If you wish to join these groups or want to know what life is really like for Palestinians under Israel's brutal military occupation and colonization of their land. Another site worth visiting for news and how you can help is the website of the International Solidarity Movement, www.palsolidarity.org. None of us can say that we do not know. The information is out there for anyone who wants to know. And that does it for today. We wish our listeners a pleasant and restful weekend and look forward to having you with us next week, same time. Until then, this is Sherif Pham signing off for now and reminding our listeners to get involved in the good fight for peace in the Middle East. Palestine is in dire need and could use all the help it could get. Thank you.